Australia and online at aflnation.com.au. Welcome to AFL Nation.
For McDonald's, get into Macca's today for hot, juicy, tasty burgers made with 100% Aussie beef.
And Liquorland, always great value.
Tonight's fixture in the footy frenzy is the most 2020 thing about season 2020. It's the Sydney Derby in Perth, which probably makes it the Sydney Derby. There's bragging rights at stake. The Swans are 17th. They're rebuilding on the run, but this is much more about the Giants. They're 8th, and one wrong step and things can get sticky really quickly. They're only inside the 8 by a couple of points, and this is a game that they will expect to win. The Giants just feeling their way without Toby Green. They got there last week over the top of the Bombers from a long way down. Tonight, we'll see how they go against the Swans. From Optus Stadium in Perth, this will be AFL Nation for McDonald's. Get into Macca's today for hot, juicy burgers made with 100% Aussie beef and Liquorland. Click and collect in just 30 minutes. Jared Waitley with you. Anthony Hudson's with me. Hello, Hutto.
Hello, Jared. Only one match tonight. It's a bit slow, isn't it, for a Thursday? We've only got one match, but it is getting to such an interesting stage of the season. The casualty toll, as we all expected, is really starting to grow now as a number of teams reveal the extent of injuries. Luke Jackson going, Tom Duda's out for the year. Adam Treloar, as Sam Edmund reported, his injury is for longer. So that's going to be a key part, isn't it, as we try and assess where teams are at going forward. And as you said, the Giants, without Toby Green last week, found a way, and that's what it's about. And it's sort of one of those nights that, as the Swans gave a fair bit, didn't they, against Collingwood last week, and it was a strange old match, but the Pies got over them in the end. They've had some decent moments in this period, despite being one of the younger teams for the year. So, and it may be in Perth, but there is always friction, and it always adds to the match when these two sides meet. It's a genuine rivalry created, of course, as the Battle of the Bridge, and then the Swans or someone decided they didn't like that title. But now it's in Perth. But, really interested to see from the start how the Giants look, whether last week was a significant win or not. I think we'll get an idea of that pretty early on, because to hear them talk about, you know, Stephen Cornelio's halftime speech and how that revved them up and sort of a bit of a line in the sand type scenario, whether that really holds true tonight will be interesting to see from the start.
Nick Del Santo rounds out our threesome. Hello, Nick.
Good evening, gentlemen. Lovely to be here. And Hutto, I already get the feeling that we're getting a bit used to and a bit acclimatised to football every single night. And, you know, now you're asking for two every single night. And that means that the players have to back up after about a 48-hour break. So I think you are pushing it just a little bit.
Well, it's only that we've got to talk for an hour before the ball is bounced.
Oh, that's the issue.
I'm not used to that anymore.
It might even start our first conversation about whether we're enjoying this first footy frenzy and whether, I mean, the talk already is, can it fit into a schedule next year? And, you know, there's evidence.
Well, there's a couple of conversations there that have spun out of it this week, isn't there? There's we should have 17 games every year, which is lovely in theory, but completely impractical, considering the economic times that we are going to be living in.
Yeah.
There's that, but I mean, there's also the opposite, isn't there? In terms of maybe we can still have this frenzy, but it's part of a regular length season or even a longer length season if the games are short.
So Paddy Dangerfield thought we could get to 27 rounds with just adjusting the footprint to play real games instead of pre-season games and to have the frenzy in the middle.
So, I mean, the stated policy of the AFL previously has always been to maximise attendance. We know it's also been to try and maximise ratings, but that's been nominally put forward as the number one priority, and in practice it has been a large priority around the fixturing, hasn't it? But some of that would be sacrificed. Mm. But if you extend the number of games, then that probably doesn't matter. But if you shorten, if you try and do both, I don't think there's much point in doing a 17 or 18 game season and compacting the games as well.
No, because it actually makes it a 12 week season if you
need your footprint.
You could do that and have midweek games and therefore argue that the value is there for the broadcast.
I just wonder whether this is a true reflection of what next year could look like. Now, clearly we're all at home, or the majority of us are at home. We don't have kids that are going to school, for example, the next morning. So football is on and it's convenient and we're happy almost with anything at the moment. I just don't know whether this, let's call this the trial for what could be going forward, is a true reflection of how families will adapt to midweek football or football 20 games or 20 nights of football in a row. It's not sure if they are a true reflection of what we're dealing with right now. If this is just so unique that it's actually hard to say, hey, Gil, look, it worked in 2020. Let's do it again in 2021 where families are in a completely different situation.
That's a fair point. I think, though, it's still the two different things. You're talking about whether you'd watch or whether you'd go. Mm. And, you know, if you're not worried about people going or not worried so much about people going, then you can schedule a game at 6:45 and kids and families can watch it midweek.
Maybe, Jared, could you give me some insight or everybody about the priority list, because midweek football doesn't make sense for the average family. But would that be, where does that sit on the agenda and the priority for Gil and the people making the decisions going forward?
Yeah, well, Hutto's right, is they do prioritise attendance and more so than TV ratings. I think they have that the wrong way around. I mean, when you talk about a game that has 30,000 people there and 1.4 million people watching on television, you're actually entitled to go, hang on, we might service our 1.4 million. I think there would be a window, would there not, in the two-week school holiday period in the middle, and then you build either side of that. So a lot of secondary schools have a three-week school holiday period. If you could nail it down in, I don't know whether you're playing four rounds in 3 weeks, and build it really solidly around school holidays, I think you'd have a really good chance. What I can't... So what we normally do is we put the handbrake on in the middle of a season when we hit those bye rounds. I'm not sure why we would ever do that again.
Yeah.
We labour through weeks, and this has shown you can actually hypercharge through weeks.
So there's got to be a value in doing it, doesn't there? So there's either got to be an economic value from getting more money out of the broadcasters or for clubs, for sponsors, whatever it is, for having footy on every night. Or it is that momentum kicker, and you just think it adds to the game. So I think, it'll be a bit of a false survey in a way, won't it? Because they'll look at TV numbers through all of this and say, oh wow, look how big they are. But they're not.
Yeah.
People aren't going out. People in the major viewing area are locked away. So you've got to take that into account as well.
I must say, putting my players hat on for a moment, I love Danger's idea. I'd much prefer to play games that are serious and play five more, for example.
Haven't the players been bleating? And I totally understand it. So bleating's probably not a fair word. It's just a nice cheap shot at you. Haven't they been trying
Isn't bleating the noise that a sheep makes?
Yeah, but it can be the noise that a bunch of players make as well.
just need some clarity on calling everybody sheeps.
About shortening the number of games rather than extending up until now. Haven't they been wanting a smaller... Gary Lyon's been pushing for a 17-game season as long as I've known him.
What purpose is that, though, for Gaz?
That's for fairness.
Yeah.
I think we can all sit here in our heart of hearts. We know what is fair and what currently is the structure isn't fair. But then all those other compounding factors come in, the financial revenue and all the other things. But I think if we were to say, hey, clean slate, we're going to make up this game. It's called AFL. This is what it looks like. A 17-game season is the only way to do it. And the only other way you could possibly do it is double it. One home, one away, like they do in English, the majority of soccer leagues. But that's not possible. So I think we just accept and understand that 17 isn't going to happen at this stage.
Is 27 fairer than 22, by the way?
No, it's just more.
Yeah, it doesn't give it any more clarity.
You are, and then part of the economic debate is scarcity, which is 17 or 18 rounds, and you actually build it to a point where most grounds are sold out for most games, or saturation, where you just keep giving it to people at this time and build your television ratings off the back. Is that the economics of the TV rights are built around saturation. The more games you give the broadcaster, the more money the broadcaster will pay. And if we are at a point where the AFL industry needs the flux of money as much as they can possibly get it, and there are serious questions around crowds next year, whether there's any or what the limitations of that are, then
that would be the best.
Hypercharge the money would make a lot of sense.
If the broadcasters were prepared to pay more for next year, say, and use it as a more fair income trial and say, well, whether there's crowds or not, we don't know at the moment. We have to try and put this in as insurance. We'll all agree as an industry we'll play 27 rounds. Broadcasters are going to pay more. Matches will be a little bit shortened.
we'll get it done and we'll assess it at the end of that time. If there's crowds for all that, great. If there's not, at least we've sort of covered ourselves a little bit.
Yeah. So the next frenzy is coming. We'll get, so Monday night this all finishes. There's 1 week of normality when there's no Thursday night.
Yeah.
I don't know what we'll do with ourselves in a week's time. And then it will start again. So the 31 games in the four rounds. So it's 31 instead of 33. And it'll be played. Damien Barrett says there'll be 17 out of 18 days of football while we compress that and then get to a standard round 18.
And then most likely a week off before finals? You're still not sure about that?
So. No, I still think they're forging ahead. So unless they sell the whole final series to Perth, I don't think that's the way it's going. There might be a week off between the preliminary final and the grand final in a certain circumstance.
NFL style.
With Perth.
Yeah.
That's a possibility. So everything the AFL has said publicly and privately is no, we're not pausing. We're trying to get it played.
So Jake Nile has written this afternoon or today sometime, I think about in The Age, about so we could still have a situation where in the finals they're not necessarily played in one state and that you get to choose your home venue. So if you're Geelong or St Kilda based in Queensland, it's your home finally playing Brisbane, you don't have to play it at the Gabba. You can play it at Metricon.
I think that makes sense. I think if you've won that right in this crazy year, then you take it away from the opposition's home ground. I think that's as fair and reasonable as we can get, I think, this year.
I think we have to keep, if Port Adelaide finishes on top of the ladder, the system has to allow games to be played at Adelaide Oval, which you can do. They're happening at the moment. Is if there's no change to the border scenario, is saying all games have to be played in Queensland just for expedience, that wouldn't actually make sense. So Port are entitled to host their home finals at Adelaide Oval. The bit I quite liked with what Jake was floating was, what if Geelong, say, went, oh, we love playing Adelaide Oval.
Yeah.
We'll take our final there.
Yeah, even though so both teams would then travel,
which would
be probably unlikely, wouldn't it, that would happen?
Probably, but it'd be cute.
Yeah.
if a team tried it and the AFL said, no, we're not doing that. You can choose Gold Coast or Brisbane. There'd be parameters around it.
Yeah.
So much to discuss in our pregame. We're going to head to Perth. Dean Cox is going to join us.
You know, the only question for Dean Cox at the moment is?
What's that?
It's how he's coping with being the whipping 100%. Boy for John Longmire.
Are you going to ask that?
I'm happy to ask.
We'll be right behind you. I promise we'll be there to back you up when he shuts you down.
And we're going to ask Dell, did he kick torpedoes in matches? Did he train himself to do it? And would he have done so last night at the moment of decision if he'd been Isaac Rankin? Every side is the best side of the Hyundai iLoad. It's reliable as anything, with room for everything, with dual sliding doors, a turbo diesel powertrain, and right now, a special $2,500 discount for ABN holders. We're in the countdown to tonight's Sydney Derby from Perth. This is the pre-game show for Beaumont Tiles. Exclusive bathroom packages from Beaumont's. $4,000 a lot.
AFL Nation for McDonald's. Get into Macca's today for hot, juicy, tasty burgers made with 100% Aussie beef and Liquorland. Always great value.
Tonight, the Sydney Derby, the Swans and the Giants on AFL Nation. For McDonald's, get into Macca's today for hot, juicy, tasty burgers made with 100% Aussie beef and Liquorland. Click and collect in just 30 minutes. We're inside the Swans camp. He's back on home turf, assistant coach and Hall of Famer Dean Cox. Dean, welcome to AFL Nation.
Thanks for having me, guys.
This is a weird idea, isn't it? Both Sydney teams in Perth.
Yeah, it is a little bit different. Obviously, the circumstances throughout the year, but yeah, good to get back here and play on a pretty good deck.
How's quarantine gone so far?
It hasn't been too bad. So we're fortunate enough that we're staying at a golf resort and there's a little bit of space and we have it solely to ourselves. So, the players can sort of get out and go for a walk around and you're not stuck basically in a little room and makes it a bit easier on their preparation.
So you got the joondal up. You drew the joondal up straw?
Yeah, we did. So we're very fortunate with that. And they've been great looking after us as well.
A bit of local knowledge in knowing what to lobby for. How did you come away from last week's game, Dean, where there's so much positivity in it but didn't get the prize?
Yeah, I think certainly our pressure and intensity was there for most of the game. And unfortunately, we couldn't get it done with clearances early. They got some real ascendancy and field position from that. So you know, the Giants are really good against Essendon doing that early, so we've got to make sure that we're switched on in that area and give ourselves every possible opportunity.
Now, Dean, the only question I really want to ask you, what should be a Hall of Famer, a dominant ruckman, a big man, a big leader and as a ruckman, and now you're in the coaching game, and I'm just a little bit worried about you just sitting next to John Longmire. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. So at times I'll get vented out a bit, but it's all part of it, and that's one thing that horses, we're there to throw ideas up and try and see if we can make some changes along the way, and if it doesn't work or it's not liked, well, we get the feedback from that. Nothing wrong with it.
are you the whipping boy? You just sit next to him and say, Coxie can take it all for the rest.
It's not always directed at me. It looks at times and things, so I'm happy to cop it. I've got big shoulders.
Yeah, and you also bumped your head, didn't you? Was it last week or the week before? And there was no sympathy from the other boys around you.
No, there wasn't. So, unfortunately, they didn't make the Brisbane box too big. And, found a sprinkler along the way and didn't get any blood, so it was good.
Hey, Coxie, how do you go as a coaching staff balancing out the high standards that this footy club's had for decades, but also accommodating for this young group coming through and understanding there is going to be some natural fluctuations with their performance and possibly their effort?
Yeah, that's the tough balance that you have to try and manipulate, is to make sure the thing we can't waver from is effort and intensity. And, we've been pretty good at that for most of the year, bar probably the last quarter against St Kilda. So, yeah, we've just got to make sure that we put players into positions that we know that they can do that. We need to find out a lot about this playing list, and, you know, it is a young group and who's going to take us forward as well. But as you mentioned, the standards don't drop away at all, and we've got to make sure that we continually instill in them what the style of play that we want to do, and hopefully they're around for a long time.
How much more even time this year have you got in regards to trialling some of these plays in something as simple as a different position? How much more do you need to find out about some of these younger guys that you've touched on?
Oh, I think the good thing is we get the luxury to be able to do it. We're in a position where we want to win games of footy and try and get this method across this younger group. But, you know, Will Haywood, he's played forward and back at times, and we just get a bit of an opportunity to have a look. And what we need for the team is the balance, and we're starting to get some players back now. Hopefully there's a couple more to come in a few weeks, and they get their opportunity. Footy at the minute, first game, he's played really good in our reserves games, and the good thing about the quarantines is you get a chance to spend a lot of time with them and, you know, educate them, and they pick all our brains and hopefully perform on match day.
Who do you reckon the com...
what was that in the background?
Perhaps she's running on the ground yelling around.
Of course it was. Who else would it be?
Hopefully he's doing a bit of yelling tonight.
Hey, who do you reckon the compressed format over the last 20-odd days takes a toll on more? Is it the older guys and the guys that are in the later stages of their career, I'll say, or the younger players physically?
I think the older guys know how to manage their bodies and what they have to do week in, week out. Their bodies are probably hardened a little bit more for the rigours of it. So that's one thing. And then the young guys, they're just so enthusiastic. You know, they're jumping around and they're spending a heap of time together, which is, you know, we've had a pretty good run so far with... We've got a sort of a 7-day and then a 9-day in a Freo due to these quarantine rules. But, you know, after that, we'll find the real, 4 or 5 day breaks are coming.
You mentioned young Zach Foote. What can you tell us about him, Dave?
He works extremely hard, covers the ground well, can play high half forward and get up the ground, try and give us some outlets, and then, can get back in front of goals pretty quickly. So, we just need him to give a work rate, and you know, he's worked really hard in his pressure around the contest, and hopefully he brings that as well with Sam Wicks, and, you know, we can get some young forwards trying to get opportunities in our forward 50.
And a broader question around training with the restrictions that have been applied with smaller groups and so forth. Do you think there'll be an element of that that is actually used going forward? Is there benefits that you couldn't have foreseen in doing that even when there's no restrictions?
Well, I think probably early in the week for your first session, the players can get a lot more touches of the footy, and you can really probably strip it down a little bit more. And whether that's in lines, you can focus specifically on areas that you need, or, you know, all different age groups, you know, for the different levels that they're at. So, I think early in the week it will help immensely, you know, not being able to when you're doing 18 on 18 and you're not allowed to touch each other, makes it really tough as well. So, you know, you got to find a balance between how much you want to contact work in small groups or how much you want to get things together as a team.
Did Sam Wicks get some new boots during the week, Dean?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, it's a weird one, sort of straight out of the box and just threw them on. The issued boot. So we've got, obviously, all our players have been, if they're going to wear them tonight, which is a bit slippery at the minute, you know, they've been adjusted throughout the week and the new stops have been put on.
Yes, well, good luck for it, Dean. Thanks for your time and enjoy, well, when you get a little taste of home, enjoy it.
Yeah, will do. Thanks very much for having me, guys.
Good on you. Dean Cox there, Hall of Famer and assistant coach at the Sydney Swans.
I was just talking to someone at one of the clubs and they were saying that they will use quite a bit of this going forward of the smaller groups with the training. They've got a lot out of it, and even when the restrictions are off, and probably, as he said, it'll be earlier in the week, but because, yeah, you can just get your message and your teaching across quicker and they get more of the footy.
And also from a fundamental point of view, you know, just the basics and just going back just to honing and the repetition of your skills, for example, I think that is something in a smaller group that the clubs might have just learned, hey, let's do that a little bit more. Let's actually isolate groups and be a bit more specific with individuals, particularly the younger guys coming through.
So Zach Foote makes his debut tonight. And Peter Blucher was telling me last week, Sam Wicks was the 50th player to make his debut under John Longmire. So number 51 in Longmire's time. Yeah, so that conversation around rebuilds, and Sydney only come into they only sort of burst into the conversation every now and then about sort of rebuilding on the run. But they are 17th. So I know they've had injury and the like, but they are taking their turn as they held and spun through a lot. Well, 51 debutants in his time as coach, and there's been a critical mass in
over so how many years? When did he take over from Rosie?
2000. Was it that early?
11.
Yeah, I'd say about that. So say it's been roughly 8 to 9 years. So what's that? 5, 6 a year. Sneaks up on you, doesn't it? You know, and whatever your definition of rebuild is, but it's sort of been happening before our eyes without us even paying a great deal of attention to it, probably apart from the last year or so.
We'll zero in on this game as we go. We're going to delve back to last night shortly, where we'll have a furphy unbelievable moment. We might do that after the break. There was a lot stitched into the end last night. You talk about a frenzy. Last night was it. Every side is the best side of the Hyundai iLoad. It's reliable as anything, with room for everything. With dual sliding doors, a turbo diesel powertrain, and right now a special $2,500 discount for ABN holders. This is AFL Nation for McDonald's. Get into Macca's today for hot, juicy, tasty burgers made with 100% Aussie beef and Liquorland. Click and collect in just 30 minutes.
AFL Nation for McDonald's. Get into Macca's today for hot, juicy, tasty burgers made with 100% Aussie beef and Liquorland. Always great value.
Tonight, the Sydney Derby, the Swans and the Giants. So the Swans are out of business, but the Giants are clinging on to eighth. And any misstep and they could find themselves under siege from the teams below. One of those being Essendon and another Melbourne, who've got intriguing clashes to come and a little bit of intrigue looking back as well. AFL Nation for McDonald's. Get into Macca's today for hot, juicy, tasty burgers made with 100% Aussie beef and Liquorland. Click and collect in just 30 minutes. Jared Waitley, Anthony Hudson and Nick Del Santo. So it's fantastic debate around the end last night. Everybody watches the same thing and then it splits in four or five directions. It's one of the great joys of talkback radio, is just hearing how people decipher and interpret the same events.
In hindsight, though, not at the time.
What did you think of it all, Nick Del Santo?
Well, if that was me, I would have gone the barrel, of course. I would have had it. I made the distance quite comfortably.
Right foot, barrel.
One thing I've never done in my life. But mine's in hindsight as well, Jared, because a different outcome would give us a completely different perspective on what Rankin should have done. Now, I must say, before I probably give my answer, I'm surprised with the conversation post about the words like, or sentences like, well, they took the win out of Essendon's hands. That's an unusual, I find that strange, that's what we're taking out of it, that we're playing not to lose. And what...
Isn't that legitimate, though?
No, I don't think Isaac Rankin at any stage thought, if I hold onto this ball for a little bit longer and take my full 30 seconds, that I'm not allowing Essendon to win. I don't think players have that mentality. And I can tell you that Adam Saad bringing the football back in didn't, because he was going straight down the middle, which says to me he wanted to win the game. It was a riskier kick or riskier style of kick, but he was playing to win. So I don't agree with the conversation around, well, Isaac Rankin was actually, it was a really smart play that he was taking it out of Essendon's hands. what I do know or what I believe watching the play, the result that Isaac Rankin had was probably worst case scenario. If he wasn't to make the distance and any other moment of the game, the worst thing you can do when kicking from just outside your range is landed on the goal line. I think worst case scenario, Isaac Rankin had to land that in the goal square.
Yeah,
and that's easy to say now, and clearly we understand.
Was he trying to do that?
I think he was trying to kick the leather off it. He was trying to kick it to the moon and back. And when you do that, obviously your degree of margin for error changes, just like a golf swing. And it's easy to compare it to golf. When you are trying to whack that thing 300 metres, it's completely different to controlling it and hitting it 260. So I think that was what makes this conversation different. I've got no issue with him thinking that he can keep the distance, and that's part of growing up. And I know it's possibly cost them a win. That's the beauty of this game, that you actually get to learn from that, and he might make a different decision. But my experience is when we've had similar situations, probably going back to the St Kilda days, we actually opened it up to the group. How would we play this again? You know, was this the right decision? Would we do it? Do you try and find a pass? Do you try and thread one through inside 50 and try and guarantee a mark? Well, it's difficult. Now, you've got to take into consideration the players are exhausted. They've ran 12 or so K. They've been tackled. They've tackled other people. Your mind's scattered. You know, you're exhausted. So your understanding of what is needed at that particular moment is completely different to sitting here right now. But I think that's an opportunity to learn. So would have I done it? No, because I was sitting on the couch and telling him to do something different. But I think if they do it right, and I believe that they will, that they'll make a different decision next time. I've got no issue with that.
What do you think, Hado?
Well, I thought at the time, initially I was like, why is he waiting so long? And then it occurred to me, is I thought that was the reason he was waiting. That someone had told him, use your time. But obviously to aim to either score a goal or just get it to the line. It felt like to me he actually tried to, I don't know, I'd need to have a look which angle his body was at and all that and go, but it felt like to me that he was trying to kick it to the top of the square, that he at the last, I thought just watching it from behind that he lacked that conviction at the end to really go for it, and it ended up being somewhere in between. So that was sort of what I felt. But I think it is legitimate to say that it was smart to wait, because the worst result is a point that gives Essendon a chance to take it the full length of the field, is it not?
I just felt that was convenient post the game.
Okay.
Is all I'm saying. A great decision. Like, absolutely. Great decision. You either score or Essendon can't score. I just don't know if that was going through.
I thought someone would, if that was the case, that someone at the bench had got that message out.
The card on the bench was one, which meant a minute, and we're inside that. As I got no doubt he was being shouted at, take your full 30.
Yeah.
And he ran it from 50 down to 16. Ball landed with 12. He just didn't get it in the right spot.
It was a really good mark, though, to start with. And that's the bit that we sometimes, we're going to forget that. Like, that was a great one-on-one. Great.
The close games revolve around him. Mm. The Melbourne close game revolved around him. The Bulldogs close game revolved around him. And now this at the end. He's kicked 2-8 in last quarters. And this is where he does need a bit of coaching.
Yeah, he does, but that's okay.
That's 100% okay.
The Ben King pickup was as much a thing that I remember as it was. As a pity he missed the second kick, but the first pickup he did was just amazing for a big young man.
The thing about the Isaac Rankin types, and most clubs will have someone of that similar sort of ability, you know, you almost don't want to coach it all out of them, though.
Oh, no.
And you've got one or two of them in your football club. As a leadership group, you can control them. It's when you start to get 5, 6, or 7 that the erratic behaviour starts to happen and actually is a detriment to the team. But one thing that Brad Scott said to me early days about the group, not just me necessarily, when the ball's in your hand, who am I to tell you how to use it? That's what you guys do. That's your decision and that's your choice while you're out there. Defensively, we're going to try and put you in a position to help the team as a whole. But offensively, don't want to ever take away anyone's flamboyant attitude in the way that they play football. So if you get someone like Isaac
Rankin... isn't that what has changed in the last X number of years, though? That has been taken away. Some coaches still say, oh, we don't teach offense, we only teach defense, but rubbish. I don't believe that for a minute.
Well, I just think there's room still for... And not everybody's treated the same in football clubs. So for the argument might be, well, you can't treat Isaac Rankin like that and then say to Ainsworth or no, you can't do that. Well, you can, because this is professional football. This is not under-12s where we swap ends at halftime and everyone gets to play forward and back. But I just think, I would hate to think that he's going to be coached out of just this creativity and who he is.
I don't think he'll be. I don't think they'll do that.
No,
they'll want to have that as much as possible.
And you know what?
Around the edges.
He may be a really frustrating player that he will cost games at times. But I can promise you, on the flip side, he'll win more than he loses for you.
Should they have moved Guelphy off him?
No. I know that was spoken about, but no. Stick to it. Stick to it. Just do your job. I know that was a really good grab that he took late as well. That's hard to stop.
Yeah. Did you think they should have, Jared?
Yes.
Yeah, so did I.
And put 100%.
And who put Saab?
Saab should have been.
Yeah, I was going to say, waiting to see who they're going to put their hand up.
They were just dancing with the devil. Mm. You go, yes, you can leave it if you want to, but it might cost you the game. And it went within a whisker of costing them the game. That's just unnecessary stubbornness.
Is it to take away the Saab offense? You reckon that was the risk and the decision from Worsfold?
Maybe, but I think they wanted Guelphy to run off Rankin. Mm. So Saad would have done it far more damagingly than Guelphy did.
That's a valid
point. I think they were still using it in the same way. They just didn't have the right matchup. Blighty's right. Is letting the torpedo as a skill and a weapon lapse from the game it's an indictment on the game.
I totally agree. And I think of football is soccer and just having girls that come through playing it and you say you investigate a little bit about how the game is coached and taught and the multitude of ways, the skills they learn about, and it's a round ball, so I get that. But, you know, you learn how to kick the different kicks. And why wouldn't, and in basketball you learn how to do the different shots. Mm. Why wouldn't we learn how to do all the kicks? Now, maybe there's an argument, you know, the training loads and all that sort of stuff that because we still can't perfect the normal drop punt, so that's what we need to spend our time with. But there are times, and it's not just the kick after the siren. Mm. And hearing old mate from Melbourne, who you have in your show every morning.
Craig Jennings.
Craig Jenner. Listening to Jenner, apologies, Jenner, if you're listening. Talk about it. And he said, made the point that he is a bit like Blighty in left field. And he talked about, that was fascinating. They went through a whole preseason and they concentrated on their torpedoes and they were going to use it as a means of kicking into their forward half as much as anything.
That's crazy.
I don't think it is at all. I'm disappointed they didn't stick with that.
Well, the contradiction about what you two guys are talking about at training and practicing that, it's now become accepted that players post-training or within training in some capacity practice the check side. So it wasn't that long ago that the check side...
There you go.
And you'd watch the goal kicker. So after training, the forwards would go one in and it was seen as mucking around or not taking training seriously when you'd go straight to the boundary line and be doing check sides or banana kicks around the bodies, whatever it may be. But that's now an accepted part of the game. Now, they're doing it from in front, for God's sake. So if they're doing it from there, they have to obviously practice it. But the more you two just talked about it, I'm like, oh yeah, that's actually a really valid point that if we're prepared to practice that because it may be needed at some stage, then there might be a time as well where the torp is needed. And it's just about executing it. And it's no longer seen as mucking around, taking the mickey out of training, not focusing and doing exactly what poor leadership, you know, teaching the young guys the wrong thing. But I think what we've seen, and there's a handful of them. I had a torp in my second game, Hutto. We were playing the Sydney Swans. It was a draw, so it was a similar situation. And I couldn't kick over a jam tin, so I knew I was in massive strife. And we're playing the Sydney Swans. We flooded the whole day. And I think we gave up about 6 goals in the last quarter. And I'd got a free kick about 55 out. And I'd never practiced it. It was my second game of football, so I definitely didn't practice it in the preseason in my first summer at the Saints. But I got onto it, and I went all of about 52 metres, and I needed about 60-odd. But I reckon that was probably the last time I actually kicked one in a game as well. My first and last.
So Rankin can't kick the torp last night because of the circumstance that we find ourselves in. But Blighty says it just should be part of what you've always done. In a previous generation, it was the favoured kick. It goes 20 metres further. And yet in the moment where we need a kick to go 10 metres further, it's evolved out of the game. It's ridiculous.
Can I just go back? So Geno was saying that they were practicing it all summer at Melbourne, that they were actually going to implement it into games.
Yeah, and they lost their nerve on a couple of fluff kicks and didn't do it after round two.
See, the issue with torps, not that I ever played forward, but being told from forwards, they're really hard to read off the boot.
But that's part of the idea, is that it's hard for the forwards, but it's hard for the defenders as well.
True. But if I'm a forward, I probably want to know roughly where it's landing. It's not going over my head by 20.
If you don't have a A1 gun key forward who you're trying to hit, it doesn't mean you do it every time. But if that's part of the playbook, say, well, we've only got smalls up there on this. And I'm surprised. And we hear people talk, and clubs have told me they're going to do it this week, and I still don't see the evidence sometimes of them kicking
kicking the ball into space more still doesn't happen enough. Players still don't have the guts to. They look up, they've got a small guy. That Port Adelaide Bulldogs game a couple of weeks ago. Like, kick it into the space. Don't just kick it up in the air. So how many intercept marks do we have to see in a game of football?
It's great. Hey, we need an unbelievable moment out of last night. It's rich picking. So
what sort of unbelievable moment, Jared?
Well, something to do justice to Furphy, who we welcome to the AFL Nation team. They're partnering the Furphy Unbelievable Moment. So you could have your Ben King goal, which not only in the moment, but didn't that speak of the future?
Yep.
You can have the Gleeson tackle or the McGrath smother, with both saved the game.
Do we have to pick one?
Yes.
Well, if Hutto's taking the Ben King goal, I'm going to go the McGrath smother. It was significant. You know, that game could have been severely different if he didn't dive across that boot in the pocket.
The Furphy Refreshing Ale, born in Geelong. Unbelievable. Welcome to the AFL Nation team. It's great to have you on board. The Swans and the Giants tonight. A shout out for Tyre Power. Go and see Robert at Tuckett's Tyre Power, Hastings. And right now, buy three, get one free on selected Kumho tyres. The teams are as selected. This is the pre-game show for Beaumont Tyres. Exclusive bathroom packages from Beaumont's for grand the lot.
AFL Nation for McDonald's. Get into Macca's today for hot, juicy, tasty burgers made with 100% Aussie beef and Liquorland. Always great value.
Derby from Perth tonight, AFL Nation for McDonald's. Get into Macca's today for hot, juicy, tasty burgers with 100% Aussie beef and Liquorland. Click and collect in just 30 minutes. Rebuilds, Dell.
Yes.
If you're a senior, I want you to take on the guise of a senior player at these three clubs, Adelaide, Hawthorn and North Melbourne. Let's start with North Melbourne, which is the complicated one. You were told last year, no, we're not rebuilding. But that plan was put to us. We rejected it. We're not rebuilding. And now you're being told this is going to be a full rebuild. How are you feeling as a senior player?
Two things. I feel disappointed that I wasn't told, if that was not the truth, that they didn't feel that at the time, I'd feel really disappointed. But I'd also feel disappointed that as a senior player, you didn't see it coming yourself.
Because it was the truth at both times.
Yeah.
It's just it was a misjudgment.
Yeah. And this is where you say the players need to have an understanding. And often you do, but you really take a step back to analyse your own list. You say, we're good this year, or we're going to be battling. Like, that's probably as deep as you really go. You're not doing a list analysis, and you know the likes of Goldstein and Higgins, which are probably in that camp of the senior players, and those two guys are playing good football. Unfortunately, right now, it doesn't make a great deal of difference. And the thing about this game that you sometimes struggle to communicate or understand is whether you're getting paid really well, or it doesn't make any difference when you're not winning games. It's just this game is hard enough as it is, and even made harder when you're not winning games. Just a really difficult place to be, and now you're in a hub. And now you've been told that there's 23 players at the Kangas that are out of contract at the end of the year, which is a huge number. So you'd hate to feel like they've been tricked, but you'd be really disappointed that it has changed so quickly. I mean, they win round one against the Saints, come back in the second half, and then they win the recommencement game against the Giants. You're like, oh, maybe we got them wrong.
A few people even talked about them as a premiership contender after that.
Well,
Was that you or not?
No, I probably jumped on board. But this game, you can't fluke it for too long. This game just balances itself out eventually, and you end up where you should be. That's my take on it. So, tough situation for the Kangas. They're going to make some huge decisions.
They actually could have been three because they lost to Sydney, and I remember early on, and then they saw Sydney get beaten the week after, and were like, how did we lose to Sydney? Yeah. So they could have been three wins.
Hawthorn, senior player. So you've seen the president write one of his pompous emails, and they're going to play the youth.
Yep.
Which is not really in Alistair Clarkson's repertoire in recent years anyway.
Don't feel as bad for the Hawks senior players. Their names have been mentioned for years now, and they've had an extremely good run. Now, the difficulty with the Hawks is some of those senior players could be playing good football, but unfortunately it doesn't matter right now because things have changed dramatically in the last 2 to 4 weeks probably, that you could be playing really good football as a senior player, but you need to make way. And unfortunately, a lot of those guys, and you look at someone like a Sean Burgoyne, for example, because he's been around the longest, you've seen so many of your mates come and go. You know the industry. You know, unfortunately, that this is how the cycle goes. It's just your turn. So I don't have as much, when I say sympathy for them, they've had a really good run. They've had beautiful careers. They've done everything you could pretty much ask for as a player. the cycle has finally caught up with them, because it's been going for so long. They've had a great ride.
In hindsight, and just from a purely footy point of view, not taking aside the life, yep, which is probably why he didn't go, should Sean Burgon have gone to the Gold Coast? I mean, that would have been a... Imagine being in that situation now.
Yeah. Well, he'd be probably looked upon like a Luke Hodge. You know, if they were going as well as they are now, you have to assign it to somebody, and you'd probably give it to Sean Burgon for the credit of changing that club around.
And if you're a senior player at Adelaide and you're 0-11 and the straight talking is happening now in Adelaide, I think there's a bit of revisionist history. No, we expected this. No. I don't think Matty Nix walked in thinking they were going to be 0-11 and staring down the prospect of not winning a game.
They're their own case, aren't they? Now, as a senior player at the Crows, you definitely need to keep a couple of them. You can't clear the decks and go back to complete youth. I still think, and I believe, that our game at times gets rid of older players too quickly, that I think that they are the ones that teach these younger guys the preparation, the Monday, the Fridays, the pre-seasons, the day in, day out work. But they need to pull their weight. They need to actually make sure their backyard's clean first, and it hasn't been for a while. So they're a different case. But the trouble when you're in that position is you go inside yourself. You start worrying about me. You start trying to get touches. And the Adelaide Crows are probably a really good example. Keep a close eye on the amount of times that you're watching your TV screen and Adelaide Crows teammates are calling for the football. Now, only one person can have the footy at the time and only one person can receive it, but you'll often see five sets of hands calling, "I'm free, I'm open," and they give it to them at particular times and they get tackled instantly. What that says to me is, I need to get 25 this week.
There's a couple of shocking examples.
I need to make sure that my backyard's clean. I can't get dropped. It's not me. It's you, and you that are doing the wrong thing, and you guys need to be delisted, not me. So they're their own individual case, unfortunately, the Crows.
I think they're resigned to the fact now they're not going to get an early pick for Brad Crouch. It's more likely to be at the end of the first round. That mind you, it only will take two clubs who actually change there, and that can happen within a period where two clubs go, you know what, the upside of Brad Crouch when he was this, and okay, we'll take a chance on his injury history. And but at the moment, it looks like rather than him getting the money that would have elevated into a potentially pick two, it's more likely to be end of first round.
Yeah,
but they'll still look like they could have five picks within the first 25.
And it's just with this draft, is that where you want that many? So you want it across two, but you take what you can get, and they need whatever they can get.
And there's lots of South Australian kids are playing footy as compared to in Victoria, so they'll get to look at locals.
Okay, so that's our pre-game show. We'll settle in and analyse the Swans and the Giants who are about to enter Optus Stadium. The pre-game show for Beaumont Tiles. Exclusive bathroom packages from Beaumont's. $4,000 the lot.
AFL Nation for McDonald's. Get into Macca's today for hot, juicy, tasty burgers made with 100% Aussie beef and Liquorland. Always great value.